Oh, if you could only have heard what happened in the last minute in here. That is for the Bryan Park Project.
Probably best you didn't.
Welcome back to the show. We are the Bryan Park Project from NPR News, and we're also always available online at npr.org/Bryan Park. I see Caitlin. I see Ian. I see Matt. I feel like the lady on Romper Room. Yeah. I see Trisha. It is time for the most emailed, most blogged, most commented, and most popular stories on the web. We call it the most. And Ian, to prove a point, something when I used to do this for MSNBC was always my point, is that the most often very interesting story, sometimes quirky, but also often very serious stories that people want to share with one another, stories about our culture.
Yeah, it's a way to get a handle on just kind of what people are thinking about. And that's a way of getting into this story, which is a most emailed from the Washington Post, soldier suicides at record level. There was an internal Army study that has some pretty alarming numbers. Last year, 121 soldiers took their own lives. That's up 20% from 2006. And that's up sixfold since the war in Iraq began. The Army's only been keeping numbers on this since 1980, so you can't get kind of an idea of what went on in other protracted conflicts. But, you know, this article says that a lot of this, the Army was just unprepared for the high number of suicides because they didn't know these wars in Afghanistan and Iraq were going to go on as long as they did. The Washington Post reporter talked to a soldier, Staff Sergeant Gladys Santos, who's an Army medic who attempted suicide after 3 tours in Iraq. And Gladys said, "They gave me an 800 number to call if I needed help. When I come to feeling overwhelmed, I don't care about the 800 number. I want a one-on-one talk with a trained psychiatrist who's either been to war or understands war." And that gets to kind of the purpose of this study. You know, the Army's top personnel chief ordered it because the Army wants to learn how to deal with this problem a little better.
We should keep our eye on that story and find a little bit more about it. Okay, Ian, great. Thanks for that most. Sure. Trisha, in the control room, our editor. Where's your most from?
Mine is the most emailed at USA Today, and the headline grabbed me right away. Professor: fractions should be scrapped. And anything that involves math and the banning thereof, I'm always interested in that because I'm really, really bad at math. But actually, this is a story about an award-winning math professor named Dennis DeTurk. He's got a book coming out in which he's going to argue that we should just scrap the use of fractions, or I guess the teaching of fractions, you know, at a high school level to young students. He just says there's no need to do it. We're in a digital age. We should be using the decimal system, decimal points, and all of that. And so fractions have had their day. He said this before, and he's caused a lot of controversy with making statements like that. And he's also going to talk about getting rid of some other things like long division and square roots and things like that.
Shoelaces, because Velcro's better. Come on.
I see Bill has an opinion about this. You know, I personally find fractions confusing, and I have a real-world example. I used to work in the scene shop at my college, and one time I ruined a very expensive pile of metal by cutting it the wrong length because I was supposed to cut like 5 feet 5 and 3/8 inches, and I cut it at 5 feet 3 and 5/8 inches, so I made it too short, and I ruined I don't even know how many hundreds of dollars worth of metal.
Trisha.
You know.
And you blame fractions?
I blame fractions for that. I really do.
But in the end, it worked out.
You know what I like about
the most?
Didn't.
They had to...
No, you're happily married. You have a lovely daughter. Everything's
okay.
Yes,
and I have no career in scenery building, so
well,
there you go.
Like
the
good
thing about the most, brings out your emotional baggage. to
That's
NPR.
Right.
But
like
anyway,
therapy.
People who are against, you know, there are mathematicians who say, you know what, don't scrap fractions. You're making it sound like, you know, these are actual basic arithmetic skills that people need to learn. So,
all right, Caitlin, you're up next.
Okay, my story is medical marijuana vending machines take root. Now, guess where? It's the number one most emailed at the LA Times.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Patients suffering who use marijuana for medical reasons can now get their pot at the Herbal Nutrition Center, where a large machine will dole out the drug around the clock. There's at least 3 dispensaries in the city where you can get your drugs this way. But it is pretty secure. There's a computerized machine that requires fingerprint identification and a prepaid card with a magnetic stripe. Once the card and the fingerprint are verified, a bright green envelope with pot drops down the slot.
So some, like, Cal student who's shall we say, not feeling too much pain. Can't, like, just go up to the machine and try to stick a $20 bill in it.
You have to have your card. This doesn't mean people aren't objecting to it because, you know, people are still filling it, still on the property. But, you know, technically it is legal for medical purposes. And the benefits of this machine, according to the inventor, are convenient access, lower prices, safety, and anonymity. And also, it cuts down on the number of workers in the store in the event of a raid. So, there you go.
Dude.
Matt, our senior supervising producer, our fearless leader.
I sacrificed last night and stayed up and watched American Idol. So I just want you to know.
One man's sacrifice is another man's indulgence.
Number one Google trend is the word precocious. Hmm. Why is that the number one Google trend? Well, last night they had this girl on American Idol. Her name's Julie DiBella. And she was indeed precocious. And here's a little bit of her performance last night.
Well, I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I was playing soft on Bob and sing the blues. Windshield wipers, turpentine, I was.
Oh, Julie, have you ever been called precocious?
Precocious? Mm. What does that mean?
That was classic.
There you go. And so it hit top of the charts on the Google Trends, precocious, and she actually was precocious. She was awful. Just awful. And I just have one word for her. Awful. And she didn't go through to Hollywood. I'm so happy about that. But she was on Google Trends earlier. She's fallen off. But precocious is still up there at number one.
Hey, Matt, we have to say what precocious means.
Well, it's just a young person who is mature for their age, you know, and the way you say it can be taken as...
In a pejorative
a
sense.
A pejorative sense,
and that's how
yes.
he meant it, I think.
And if somebody who is not precocious, who is down to earth, was on Tuesday's American Idol, he is, when they're in Omaha, he's from Charlotte, Iowa, he has this guy named Leo Marlowe, just the most adorable guy in the world, comes in, he's the last guy to audition. And I just wanted to play it just because I thought it was awesome. It has nothing to do with the most. It's my most favorite moment of the week.
Okay, and wow. Do people like you?
I think, well, my mom always said she raised the perfect homecoming queen. Too bad it wasn't one of her daughters, so I
guess. Well, all right.
Okay, what are you going to sing?
A song for you.
I love that song.
By Donny Hathaway.
Yeah, we love that song.
You got it?
Yeah.
I've been so many places in my life and time. I've sung a lot of songs. I've made some bad rhymes. I've acted out my life in stages, 10,000 people watching, but we're alone now, and I'm singing the song to you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, very good.
It's like a latter-day Elliot Yameen.
Yeah,
he kind of looks like a skinny Perez Hilton.
Yes, that's a good
imagine.
That's a good way to describe him. Anyway, so that's my most from the Google.
American Idol correspondent and senior supervising producer, Matt Martinez.
I do the hard work so you don't have
so
to.
So does precocious mean unable to imitate Janis Joplin?
Is that is also what it means.
I see.
I have the final awful. Most. Well, the second to final most. This is in the Wall Street Journal. It's one of the most viewed, and the headline is, "Chew This Over. Munchable ice sells like hotcakes." You know, some people just really like to chew ice.
I'm looking at one right now.
Matt Martinez admitted to this. He's a big ice chewer.
He's from Phoenix. It's hot
Phoenix.
There.
You got to chew them. You know, when I was a kid, I used to chew chunks of ice, and I would occasionally choke on them. And my grandfather
That's
would give me
funny.
The Heimlich maneuver, and, you know, a week would pass, and they'd do it all over again. You know, I've almost died 5 different times.
That's Sunday at the Martinez household. this is for you then, Matt, because some fast food places are selling it in cups and bags to go, and ice machine makers are competing to make the best chewable ice. Names like Chewblet, Nugget Ice, Pearl Ice, and in fact, they're calling the South now the Chew Belt.
The Chew Belt. I love it.
Most viewed at the Wall Street Journal. We'll link up to all these stories on our blog, npr.org/Bryant Park. Thanks, everybody.